Thank you. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 17. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord. Our reading is a portion of the Gospel for the Transfiguration of our Lord. In the account of the Transfiguration, we have the entire Bible packed into a few verses. Moses and Elijah were there, two towering figures of the Old Testament scriptures. The Jewish way of speaking of the Old Testament scriptures was to speak of the law and the prophets, the revelation given by God through Moses, and that which was given by God through his servants, the prophets. Peter, James, and John were there from the New Testament. The Gospels and the Epistles of the New Testament were given to the church through these and other apostolic writers, holy men of God, who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The central figure in it all is God in human flesh. The Scriptures, Old Testament and New, direct us to this one unique life, that of the incarnate Son of God. The writers of the prophetic and apostolic scriptures gather around him in that scene on the Mount of the Transfiguration and fix their gaze on him. The gospel accounts of this incident show us how to understand who he is. The man Jesus of Nazareth walked up onto a mountain, and he did so putting one foot ahead of the other, just as any human being would walk. And there in his human body, the glory of God was manifested. An epiphany of divine glory took place in a real human body. His body was no docetic phantom. The divine glory was not the product of overworked imaginations and wishful thinking. Both were real. The gospel writers struggled to find words to communicate adequately what happened there on the Mount of the Transfiguration. Matthew and Mark use a word which means to utterly transform something, to describe what happened to Jesus' appearance. They reached for similes to capture what the disciples saw. Jesus' face was like the sun. It was white as light itself, Matthew wrote. His clothes were shining, dazzling white, like snow, St. Mark wrote. And then he added, such as no launderer on earth could whiten them. Luke says that Jesus' clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. St. John writes of seeing a glory in Jesus which could only be the glory of one who was begotten of the Father. Old Testament and New Testament, one book. Prophet and apostle, Moses and St. John wrote with one purpose. Their writings come to a focal point in one person, the Christ, God in human flesh. He was born of the seed of David and Abraham, and in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. He was and is unique in this coming together of what is completely and truly human and what is completely and truly God in one person. And all that he did as the God-man. St. Luke's account of the Transfiguration reveals that Moses and Elijah were discussing there on the mountain with Jesus. They were talking about his soon-to-take-place suffering and death in Jerusalem, The Son of God had not taken human flesh and blood simply to display ostentatiously the glory of God among men and to intimidate and to terrify those who saw it. His purpose, rather, was to carry out the great sacrifice of atonement as the God-man. And that work was the subject of discussion. His mission was to destroy the works of the devil and to provide reconciliation with God for all. And this he did by his life and death and resurrection. Old Testament and New, prophets and apostles, the person of the God-man Jesus of Nazareth, his work of atonement and reconciliation, all of this is packed into this one account. But there is one more striking detail here. God the Father spoke from the bright cloud which enveloped the scene. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here is the Father's pronouncement and all things pertaining to who Jesus is and what he has done. The Father is pleased in him. The work of reconciliation is finished. Alienated humankind is brought back into harmony with God through him. It is finished. All is done. The misguided response of the disciples to the voice of the Father from heaven was utter terror. They fell to the ground to hide their faces from the terrifying presence of God. But Jesus assured them that this pronouncement of the Father was intended not to terrorize them, but to benefit them and to comfort them. That God the Father is pleased by the person and work of God the Son is nothing other than purest gospel. It lays no conditions or demands on anyone, because all demands and conditions have been fulfilled and carried out. The Father did not say, "This is my beloved Son, and you better strive to be like him, and you better follow his example in every detail, and if you don't, I'm not pleased with you, and you are thrown out from my presence forever." If that had been the message, the three disciples would have had good reason to be utterly terrified, and so would we. Jesus came to the disciples and touched them, and he said, "Don't be afraid." The Father's only directive was that they and we should hear him, specifically that we hear his word of absolution. You are forgiven. You are reconciled to the Father. Jesus says, "Whoever hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death to life." He comes among us to touch us and to say, "Don't be afraid." He touched you in your baptism with water and the word. He touches your ears whenever you hear the gospel. He touches your lips and tongue with his body and blood in his sacrament. And in all these ways, he is saying, "Don't be afraid. The Father is pleased in you because he is well pleased in me. And you are united with me in faith." When the disciples lifted their eyes at the touch of Jesus, they saw only Jesus. They no longer focused on themselves and their feeble efforts to be like him in moral perfection or understanding or oneness with God. The Father was pleased in him and in him alone, and their eyes of faith were fixed on Jesus alone. And they were blessed in seeing Jesus only, and so are we. Let us pray. O merciful and everlasting God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed to us the glory of your Son, and let the light of your gospel shine upon us. We pray that you would guide us by this light, that we may walk diligently as Christians in all good works, ever be strengthened by your grace, and conduct our lives in all godliness through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.